Accidents are an unavoidable fact of life. Or are they? In this podcast, we discuss current events through one personal injury lawyer's perspective. In each episode, we'll focus on one event and attempt to answer the oftentimes not-so-simple question, who's to blame? I'm your host, Jonathan Ratchick.
This podcast is sponsored by the law firm of Kramer & Levy & Ratchick, PLLC, and is for entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as legal advice and does not create an attorney-client relationship. If you think you might have a lawsuit, you should contact an attorney.
COVID-19 is crippling the United States and countries all over the world. Since being first diagnosed in the city of Wuhan, China, back on December 1st, 2019, the coronavirus, which causes the disease, has spread throughout the world. When I first began preparing this podcast on Friday, March 20th, over 7,000 cases of coronavirus had been diagnosed in New York State. By Monday, that number had swelled to more than 15,000 cases. Over 120 deaths have been attributed to the disease in New York State alone. With the pandemic showing no signs of slowing down in the near future, more and more states are ordering citizens to stay indoors and to practice social distancing. What happens, however, if a colleague with symptoms of the disease comes to the office and infects you? Or if your employer forces you to come to work against the advice of public health officials and you get sick? In this episode of The Blame Game, we'll try to answer the question of whether anyone can be held at fault for spreading or causing you to become infected with COVID-19. And the short answer is probably not. And the reason why I say probably not is largely because of the difficulty, if not impossibility, of satisfying one critical element in any personal injury lawsuit alleging infection with the coronavirus: causation. Let's take a private individual, for example. Let's assume Joe Smith knows he's infected with the coronavirus. Or if he doesn't know he's infected, arguably should have known he's infected because he's exhibiting the common symptoms associated with COVID-19, such as fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath. And despite his symptoms and not feeling well, Joe does what so many people do in his situation. He comes to work anyway. Several days later, you begin experiencing the same symptoms. Unlike Joe, however, you do the responsible thing. You go to the doctor's office, get tested, and lo and behold, you've got the virus. Whereas Joe eventually got better, however, you don't. Over the next few weeks, your condition deteriorates. You develop acute respiratory distress syndrome, requiring you to get hospitalized and placed on a ventilator. Weeks later, when you are finally well enough to get discharged, you've been left with permanent lung damage. Can you sue Joe for being negligent and not socially distancing himself when he was clearly contagious? There's certainly no question that Joe had a duty of care to take reasonable measures to prevent the spread of the virus with which he was clearly suffering. Not just by washing his hands, covering his coughs and sneezes, and perhaps wearing a face mask, but by isolating himself as well, what's commonly referred to as social distancing. By not doing any of these things, Joe has arguably breached the duty of care he owed to others, including his colleagues at work. And the virus has clearly caused you injury in the form of permanent lung damage. But how can you legally prove that Joe was the source of the virus with which you were diagnosed? And this is why any lawsuit against Joe, or for that matter, any individual, would likely fail. Because you can't prove that one critical element in any personal injury lawsuit: causation. That Joe's conduct and breach of the duty of care he owed others was a substantial factor in causing you to come down with COVID-19. And the reason you can't prove this element is because it's not provable in a city such as New York, or for that matter, anywhere else on Earth. In other infectious disease cases, the plaintiff can usually prove a causal connection between the tortfeasor's conduct and their own injury. For example, let's pretend Jane is accusing Joe of giving her a sexually transmitted disease, an STD. Assuming Jane hasn't been with other men who were also carrying an STD, she would be able to causally connect her injury to Joe. Scientifically, because she could rule out other sources of infection. The same doesn't hold true for coronavirus. And that's because you can't rule out other causes or sources of COVID-19. You could have picked up the virus by taking the subway to work. or by shaking hands with someone who was infected and just not exhibiting any signs of the disease. In other words, there are just too many alternative sources of infection to be able to prove with any degree of certainty that Joe was the cause of your infection. Moreover, according to the Centers for Disease Control, someone who's infected with the coronavirus might not experience any symptoms for up to 2 weeks. This increases exponentially the number of people from whom you could have contracted the virus and is fatal to any possible personal injury lawsuit. Basically, unless you've been living in a bubble for 2 weeks and your only contact with the outside world was Joe coming over to chat and shake hands, you will not be able to prove a causal connection between Joe's conduct and your own infection. If you can't bring a lawsuit against your colleague Joe for coming into work while he was sick and transmitting the coronavirus to you, what about a lawsuit against your employer for making you come into the office in the first place? Or for allowing Joe to stay in the office instead of sending him home? Shouldn't your employer be held responsible for exposing you to the virus when you could have been safely telecommuting from the comfy confines of your condo? Even assuming that any such lawsuit would not be barred by the workers' compensation law, which generally prohibits workers from suing their employers for on-the-job injuries, the answer is probably not. This is not to say that your employer does not owe you a duty of care. Under common law, employers have a duty to provide their employees with a reasonably safe place to work. Likewise, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, commonly referred to as OSHA, requires employers to provide employees with a safe place to work, even if it doesn't give rise to a private cause of action, and even has various standards that apply to infectious diseases. And an employer arguably breaches this duty of care by not undertaking measures to protect employees from infection, whether by cleaning and disinfecting surfaces, posting hand-washing signs in restrooms, and encouraging sick workers such as Joe to stay at home. But just as you can't prove that Joe coming into work while sick was the legal cause of your infection, you can't prove that your employer's failure to implement workplace controls was the cause either. Again, you might have contracted the virus while standing in a crowded subway car, or from someone coughing or sneezing while you were taking an elevator. During a pandemic, the possibilities are infinite, and unless you can rule out these other sources of infection, or at least render them sufficiently remote, then you would be unable to prove any causal connection between the actions of your employer and your infection, an essential element to any personal injury lawsuit. This is not to say whether you might be able to file a claim for workers' compensation benefits. I'm not a workers' compensation attorney and have no opinion on whether contracting coronavirus might be considered an occupational disease, nor am I an authority on any of the countless employment-related issues that are going to arise from this pandemic. Only that a lawsuit against a colleague or your employer for making you come into the office or for not implementing workplace controls to prevent the transmission of infectious diseases, such as COVID-19, is not going to be successful. What will be successful, however, is the one practice that has been proven to stop the spread and transmission of the virus: washing your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds. Thank you for listening to The Blame Game. This episode was brought to you by Kramer, Dunleavy, and Ratchick, PLLC. Come check us out at kdrpilawyers.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. It's very much appreciated. Thank you. And